Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, The Creation of the Fourth Order, Chapter 31. Narada instructs the Prachetas. Part 2. Purports, 2 verses 1 through 22. Guru Mukha Padma Vakya. After the Prachetas had finished their penances, they were blessed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Lord blessed them, telling them that after finishing their family life, they would return home back to Godhead in due course of time. After finishing their family life, which lasted thousands of years according to the calculations of the demigods, the Prachetas decided to leave home, putting their wife in the charge of a son named Daksha. Everything depends upon the development of mature knowledge. King Prachina Barhishat, the father of the Prachetas, left home before the arrival of his sons, who were engaged in austerity within the water. As soon as the time is ripe, or as soon as one has developed perfect Krishna consciousness, one should leave home, even though all of one's duties may not be fulfilled. Prachina Barhishat was waiting for the arrival of his sons, but following the instructions of Narada Muni, as soon as his intelligence was properly developed, he simply left instructions for his ministers to impart to his sons. Thus, without waiting for their arrival, King Barhishman left home. The word Brahmasatra means cultivation of spiritual knowledge. Actually, both the Vedas and severe austerity are known as Brahma. Vedas Tatvam Tapo Brahma. The word Brahma also means the Absolute Truth. One has to cultivate knowledge of the Absolute Truth by pursuing studies in the Vedas and undergoing severe austerities and penances. The Prachetas properly executed this function and consequently became equal to all other living entities. A learned person sees everyone equally on the spiritual basis, and a learned person, a devotee, wants to see everyone developed in Krishna consciousness. The place where the Prachetas were residing was perfect for executing spiritual activities, for it is indicated that the great sage Jajali attained mukti, liberation there. One desiring perfection or liberation should associate with a person who is already liberated. This is called sadhu sangha, associating with a perfect devotee. The words pare amale are significant. The realization of Brahman is explained in Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 1. The Absolute Truth is realized in three phases: Brahmeti, Paramatmeti, Bhagavan iti Shabdyate. That is, impersonal effulgence, Brahman, localized Paramatma, and the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Bhagavan. In his prayers, Lord Shiva concentrated upon the personal features of Parabrahman, described in personal terms as Snigdha Pravrid Ghana Shyamam. Following the instructions of Lord Shiva, the Prachetas also concentrated their minds on the Shyama Sundara form of the Supreme Brahman. Although impersonal Brahman, Paramatma Brahman, and Brahman as the Supreme Person are all on the same transcendental platform. The personal feature of the Supreme Brahman is the ultimate goal and last word in transcendence. The great sage Narada Muni travels everywhere. He goes to the demons and the demigods and is equally respected by both. Narada is consequently described herein as Sura Saradya, worshipped both by demons and demigods. And so, for Narada Muni, the door of every house is open. Although there is perpetual animosity between the demons and demigods, Narada Muni is welcomed everywhere. Now, of course, Narada is considered one of the demigods, and the word Devarshi means the saintly person among the demigods. But not even the demons envy Narada Muni. Therefore, Narada is equally worshipped by both demons and demigods. A perfect Vaishnava's position should be just like that of Narada Muni, completely independent and unbiased. It is significant that all the Prachaitas were engaged in practicing yoga to concentrate their minds on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One should not be attached to sense objects, but should accept sense enjoyment as much as required and no more. If one wishes to enjoy the senses more than required, he or she becomes attached to family life, which means bondage. All the Prachaitas admitted their fault in remaining in householder life. The Prachaitas requested Narada to enlighten them in transcendental knowledge. Generally, when a common man meets a saintly person, he wishes to get some material benediction. However, the Prachaitas were not interested in material benefit, for they had enjoyed all of this sufficiently. Nor did they want the fulfillment of their material desires. They were simply interested in crossing the ocean of nescience. The words Bhagavan Narada indicate that Narada Muni is always absorbed in thoughts of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Bhagavati Uttama Shloka Avishtatma. Narada has no other business than thinking of Krishna, talking of Krishna, and preaching about Krishna. Therefore, Narada is sometimes also called Bhagavan. Bhagavan means one who possesses all opulences. When a person possesses Bhagavan within one's heart, one is also sometimes called Bhagavan. This does not mean that the spiritual master or a saintly person like Narada has actually become the Godhead. But Narada is accepted in this way because Narada possesses the Godhead within his heart constantly. As described here by the word Avishtatma, when one is simply absorbed in the thought of Krishna, one is also called Bhagavan. Bhagavan possesses all opulence. If one possesses Bhagavan within one's heart always, does he or she not automatically possess all opulence also? And so in that sense, a great devotee like Narada can be called Bhagavan. However, we cannot tolerate when a rascal or imposter is called Bhagavan. For one must possess either all opulences or the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Bhagavan, who possesses all opulences. At the present moment, civilized nations have given up God consciousness for economic development. They are actually no longer interested in advancing in God consciousness. Formerly, their forefathers were engaged in executing religious principles. Whether one is Hindu, Muslim, Buddhist, Jewish, or whatever, everyone has some religious institution. Real religion, however, means becoming God-conscious. It is particularly mentioned herein that birth is successful if an interest in Krishna consciousness is taken. Activity is successful if it results in serving the Lord. Philosophical speculation or mental speculation is successful when engaged in understanding the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The senses are worth possessing when engaged in the service of the Lord. Actually, devotional service means engaging the senses in the service of the Lord. At the present moment, our senses are not purified. Therefore, our senses are engaged in the service of society, friendship, love, politics, sociology, and so on. However, when the senses are engaged in the service of the Lord, then one attains bhakti, or devotional service. The word shalkra janma means taking birth by seminal discharge. Animals take their birth in this way too. However, a human being can be reformed from the shalkra janma as recommended in the Vedic civilization. Before the birth takes place, or before the father and mother unite, there is a ceremony called Garbhadan Sanskara, which must be adopted. However, according to the Pancharatrika system, even though everyone is a Shudra due to the absence of the Garbhadhana Sanskara, if a person has but a little tendency to become Krishna conscious, he or she should be given the chance to elevate oneself to the transcendental platform of devotional service. Our Krishna consciousness movement adopts this Pancharatrika Vidhi. In our Krishna consciousness movement, we therefore offer the student first initiation and allow one to chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. By chanting the Maha Mantra regularly and following the four regulative principles, one becomes qualified to be initiated as a Brahmana. Because unless one is a qualified Brahmana, one cannot be allowed to worship Lord Vishnu. This is called Yagyika Janma. In our Krishna consciousness society, unless one is twice initiated, first by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, and second by the Gayatri Mantra, one is not allowed to enter the kitchen or deity room to execute duties. However, when one is elevated to the platform on which one can worship the deity, then his or her previous birth does not matter. Chandalo pi dvijasrishto hari bhakti parayanah hari bhakti vihinascha dvijopi swapachadamaha. Even if one is born in the family of a chandala, if one engages in the devotional service of the Lord, one becomes the best of brahmanas. But even a brahmana who is devoid of devotional service is on the level of the lowest dog eater. So if a person is advanced in devotional service, it does not matter whether one was born in a chandala family, because one becomes purified by devotional service. The word vibhudhayusha indicates that even if one gets a long lifespan, one's lifespan is useless if one is not a devotee. The living entity is the eternal servitor of the Supreme Lord. And unless one comes to the platform of devotional service, one's lifespan, good birth, glorious activities, and everything else are all null and void. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu therefore told Sanatana Goswami that without a touch of devotional service, jnana, yoga, and Sankhya philosophy cannot give one the desired results. The impersonalists wish to merge into the Supreme Brahman. However, merging into the Supreme Brahman also requires a touch of devotional service. The Absolute Truth is realized in three phases: impersonal Brahman, Paramatma, and the Supreme Personality of Godhead. All these require a touch of devotional service. Sometimes it is actually seen that Mayavadis also chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, although their motive is to merge into the Brahman effulgence of the Absolute. The yogis also at times take to the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, but their purpose is different from that of the bhaktas or devotees. In all processes, karma, jnana, or yoga, bhakti is required. Yapatoror mula nishechanena tripyanti tatskandha bujo pashakha prano paharach cha yathendriyanam tathaiva sarvarhanam achuteja. Just as pouring water on the root of a tree energizes its trunk, branches, twigs, and everything else, and just as supplying food to the stomach enlivens all the senses and limbs of the body, so, simply by worshiping the Supreme Personality of Godhead through devotional service, automatically the demigods are satisfied because the demigods are parts and parcels of the Godhead. Sometimes people ask why this Krishna consciousness movement simply advocates worship of Krishna to the exclusion of the demigods. And the answer is provided in this verse by Srila Narada Muni. The example of pouring water on the root of a tree is very appropriate. In the 15th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Urdhva Mulam Adha Shakam. This cosmic manifestation has expanded downward, and the root is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Lord Krishna also confirms in the 10th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Aham Sarvasya Prabhava, I am the source of all spiritual and material worlds. So, Krishna is the root of everything. Therefore, Krishna Seva, or rendering service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, means automatically serving all the demigods. Sometimes it is argued that karma and jnana require a mixture of bhakti in order to be successfully executed. And sometimes it is argued that bhakti also requires karma and jnana for its successful termination. The fact is, however, that although karma and jnana cannot be successful without bhakti, bhakti does not require the help of either karma or jnana. Actually, as described by Srila Rupa Goswami, Anya Vilashita Shunyam Jnana Karmadi Anavritam, pure devotional service should not be contaminated by the touch of karma and jnana. Modern society is involved in various types of philanthropic works, humanitarian works, and so on. But people do not know that these activities will never be successful unless Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is brought into the center. So one may ask, what harm is there in worshiping Krishna and the different parts of Krishna's body, the demigods? And the answer is also given herein by Narada Muni. The point is that by supplying food to the stomach, the indriyas, the senses, are automatically satisfied. If one tries to feed the eyes or ears independently, the result is only havoc. Simply by supplying food to the stomach, we satisfy all of the senses. It is neither necessary nor feasible to render separate service to the individual senses. The conclusion is that by Krishna Seva, or serving Krishna, everything is complete, as confirmed in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Krishna bhakti kaile sarva karma krita hai. If one is engaged in the devotional service of the Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then everything is automatically accomplished. During the rainy season, the rain, by rejuvenating the production of vegetables on the earth, enables man and animals to obtain living energy. When there is no rain, food becomes scarce, and both man and animal simply die. All vegetables, as well as moving living entities, are originally products of the earth. They come from the earth, and again they merge into the earth. Similarly, the total material energy is generated from the body of Krishna, and at such a time, the entire cosmic manifestation is visible. And when Krishna winds up his energy, everything vanishes. The word padam indicates that place where the Supreme Personality of Godhead resides, as confirmed in Ishopanishad, Isha Vasyam Idam Sarvam. It is just like the proprietor of a house may live in one room of the house, but the entire house belongs to the proprietor. Or as a king may live in one room in Buckingham Palace, but the entire palace is considered the king's property. It is not necessary for the king to live in every room of that palace for it to be his. The king may be physically absent from the rooms, but still the entire palace is understood to be the king's royal domicile. The sunshine is light, the sun globe itself is light, and the sun god himself is also light. However, the sunshine is not exactly identical with the sun god Vivasvan. This is the meaning of achintya veda veda tattva, of something being simultaneously one and different. For the entire material world is completely dependent on the sun, being produced by the sun. And because the sun is also inherent in its effects. So similarly, Krishna is the cause of all causes, and the effects are permeated by the original cause, Krishna. The entire cosmic manifestation should be understood as the expanded energy of the Supreme Lord. When one sleeps, the senses are inactive, but this does not mean that the senses are absent. When one is awakened, the senses again become active. So similarly, This cosmic creation is sometimes manifest and sometimes unmanifest, as stated by Krishna in chapter 8 of Bhagavad Gita. Bhutva bhutva praliyate. When the cosmic manifestation is dissolved, it is in a kind of sleeping condition, an inactive state. Whether the cosmic manifestation is active or inactive, the energy of the Supreme Lord is always existing. Thus, the words appearance and disappearance apply only to the material cosmic manifestation. Sometimes we see night, sometimes we see day, sometimes illumination, and sometimes darkness. All these exist due to the sun, but the sun itself is unaffected by all of these changes. Similarly, although the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the original cause of the total cosmic manifestation, still, Krishna is unaffected by the material existence. Although the material or physical elements are the energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they are separate. Godhead is therefore not affected by material conditions. The creation, maintenance, and dissolution of this cosmic manifestation are due to the existence of the Supreme Lord. Nonetheless, Lord Krishna is unaffected by all these changes in the material elements. This is indicated by the word pravaha, or emanation. The sun always shines brilliantly and is not affected by clouds or darkness. Similarly, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is always present in his spiritual energy and is not affected by the material emanations. Krishna is the shelter of everything, and this is the verdict of all scripture. Krishna is the remote cause, and material nature is the immediate cause of the cosmic manifestation. And although material nature is the immediate cause, the original cause is Narayana, Krishna. According to Vedic calculations, there are three causes of creation, namely, time, the ingredient, and the creator. Combined, these are called Tritayatmaka, the three causes. Everything in this material world is created by these three causes, and all of these causes are found in the personality of Godhead. Narada Muni therefore advised the Prachetas to worship the direct cause, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As stated before, when the root of a tree is watered, all the parts are energized. According to the advice of Narada Muni, one should directly engage in devotional service. This will include all pious activity. The words Swat Tejasa Dvashta Guna Pravaham are very significant, for the Supreme Personality of Godhead is never affected by the material qualities, although they all emanate from his spiritual energy. Those who are really conversant with this transcendental knowledge can utilize everything for the service of the Lord, because nothing in this material world is unconnected with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In this next verse are some of the ways in which the Supreme Personality of Godhead can be satisfied by the devotee. Dayaya sarva bhuteshu santushtyayena kenava
sarvendriyo pashantyacha tushyati ashu janardhanaha.
The first item mentioned is dayaya sarva bhuteshu, showing mercy to all conditioned souls. The best way to show mercy is to spread Krishna consciousness. The entire world is suffering for want of this knowledge, and people should know that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is the original cause of everything. Knowing this, everyone should directly engage in Krishna's devotional service. Those who are actually learned, advanced in spiritual understanding, should preach Krishna consciousness all over the world so that people may take to it and make their lives successful. The word sarva bhuteshu is significant because it applies not only to the human species of life. The devotee can do good not only to humanity, but to all living entities as well. Everyone can benefit spiritually by the chanting of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
When this transcendental vibration of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra is sounded, even the trees, animals, and insects benefit. Thus, when one chants the Mahamantra loudly, he or she actually shows mercy to all living entities. To spread the Krishna consciousness movement throughout the world, the devotees should be satisfied in all conditions. And so, by always thinking of Krishna, the pure devotee's heart is freed from all kinds of desires. In the material world, the heart of the living entity is filled with all kinds of material desires. And when the living entity's heart is cleansed, he or she does not think of anything material. As long as one is under the control of the material modes of nature, he or she desires so many things and makes so many plans for material sense enjoyment. But as soon as the Lord is perceived within the heart, all material desires vanish. And when the mind is completely free from all material desire, the devotee can think of Krishna constantly. Sometimes a king may engage a joker, and in the process of joking, the king is sometimes insulted. The king, however, enjoys these activities. Everyone worships the Supreme Lord with great reverence. Therefore, the Lord sometimes wants to enjoy the chastisement of his devotees. In this way, the relationship eternally existing between the Lord and his devotees is fixed, just like the sky overhead. Lakshmiji, the goddess of fortune, is worshipped by all materialistic men, including big kings and demigods in heaven. Lakshmi, however, is always after the Supreme Personality of Godhead, even though Krishna does not require Lakshmi's service. And this very personality of Godhead, out of his causeless mercy, becomes dependent on his devotees. How fortunate, then, is a devotee who is thus favored by the personality of Godhead? And what ungrateful devotee will not worship the Lord and enter into Krishna's devotional service? Actually, a devotee cannot forget one's obligation to the Supreme Personality of Godhead even for a single moment. Finally, Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says that both the Supreme Lord and His devotee are rasajna, full of transcendental humor. The mutual attachment between the Supreme Lord and His devotee is never to be considered material, for it always exists as a transcendental fact. Recorded January 23, 2024 by Nirantara Dasa. All glories to the ISKCON founder, Acharya, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. Om Tat Sat.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.